In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come, Holy Ghost, and fill up the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who once by the light of the Holy Ghost instructed the hearts of thy faithful, grant us by that same Holy Ghost to be truly wise, and ever to rejoice in his name, in his consolations, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Lesson 23, H. What is the chief message of the New Testament? The chief message of the New Testament is the joyful announcement of our salvation through Jesus Christ. The word salvation, it's a wonderful word, comes from the Latin salvare, which means to preserve, so that our life, our souls, would be preserved through death to get to the other side, to heaven. That's what salvation is. And then it says, these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's a quote there from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, verse 31. 23, I. What is divine tradition? Divine tradition is the unwritten word of God, that is, truth revealed by God, though not written in the Bible, and given to the church through word of mouth by Jesus Christ or by the apostles under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. 23J. Has divine tradition ever been committed to writing? Divine tradition has been committed to writing, especially by saintly writers called fathers, who lived in the early centuries, but were not inspired, as were those who wrote the Bible. I should say, before the church had really settled this, that sometimes a copy of the New Testament might contain documents, say, the Didache of St. Irenaeus of Lyon. The Didache was probably written in around 125 A.D., and it was a magnificent document. It's a wonderful work, written by a great saint, a father of the church, and some thought it was so holy that it should be part of the New Testament. But after a period of time, the church decided, no, it's not the fathers, it's just the apostles, and the apostle to the Gentiles, St. Paul. They make up the New Testament. The Catechism goes on to say, among the many holy men who have been called fathers of the church, these are the eight most important. And they're the Greek fathers and the Latin fathers. Sometimes they're called the four great Latin doctors of the church, and the four great Greek doctors of the church. The Greeks are St. Athanasius, St. Basil the Great, St. Gregory Nazianzen, and St. John Chrysostom. The four great Latin doctors of the church are St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, St. Jerome, and St. Gregory the Great. Notice that once in a while a saint gets the title the Great added to his name. And the reason for that is that there are some saints who not only have they done great things for the church, but they have affected the secular world in a tremendous way, or in a significant way even. And so they get the moniker, the Great, added to their name. 23K, has divine tradition the same force as the Bible? Yes, divine tradition has the same force as the Bible, since it too contains God's revelation to men. And 23L, by what kind of act do we believe the doctrines contained in the Bible and in divine tradition? We believe the doctrines contained in the Bible and divine tradition by an act of divine faith, which means that we accept them on the authority of God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. That's a key point that we need to turn to at other parts here in the Catechism as we go on in these lessons. But it's an act of divine faith. This is not possible just with human power. It can only be done by the gift of faith. And it comes from the authority of God. Authority is an English word that comes from the Latin auctor, meaning source or origin. God is the origin of this teaching. He is the origin of tradition. So we have finished lesson two in the catechism. And, of course, as I hope you would do, please read the passages from the Bible, which may be found on page 21, listed there. And there are, for a habit, to acquire a new habit, because this is all about living a new life. Notice, as it says in 23H, that you may believe, and that believing you may have life in his name. So this is an entirely new way of living. And the habit to acquire at this point is to start the day with the sign of the cross, so that your first conscious act, what you really do when you get up, is to make the sign of the cross. Now, of course, maybe your first act is to reach over and turn the alarm clock off, but notice you have a choice. As soon as you get up, if your alarm clock has a snooze button, and you press the snooze button, well then your first act of the day is an act of self-indulgence. If, on the other hand, you turn off the alarm clock and make the sign of the cross, you have begun the day with an act of self-sacrifice, an act of love for the Holy Trinity. And that's an enormous difference. Just that simple thing there is a very different way to live. So that's your habit to acquire at this point, after this lesson. And for a prayer, learn the Come Holy Ghost, as we prayed at the beginning of the lesson.